We're in the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John. John, we're in the Gospel of John. The great chapter of 16. A great, great chapter, as is all the scriptures. We give him praise and glory and honor. A great time of worship. John chapter 16. A couple of weeks ago, while in Bible study class with Fawobi, Fawobi gave me an idea. And it is out of that idea of Fawobi that I stand here today. And he was talking about the GPS system. The GPS system is the global positioning system. That's what GPS stands for. The global positioning system. It is an accurate worldwide navigational and surveying system facility based on reception of signals orbiting systems. So that's the GPS. Maybe some of you have used the GPS. I believe that the first one came out with the GPS was the Google. That you would plug in the address and from where you are, and will take you. Before the GPS, we had, for some of you, you said, well, how did you get around? We had maps. maps. And I remember when I came here in 1990, I purchased a Gwinnett County map, and I went through about 10 of those maps since the time I've been here. But I remember on visitation a number of years ago, I was going out with some folks, and they said, why don't you just use your phone? I said, man, I'm not going to use the phone. And I was like many of you, just anti that at that time. And I remember being on Hope. My daughter Natalie was with us that particular year, and she says, Dad, you just need to get with it. I said, get with what? You need to start doing GPS. I said, what in the world is GPS? I use it all the time now. It is amazing what the GPS does. And maybe you were like me, that you were very, very skeptic at the first time when you started using Google on the GPS. You thought, I knew Gwinnett County really well, or I thought I knew it really well. And I remember trying to get around certain places because I'd have to go to the hospitals and whatnot, and I'd take the nooks and crannies. Well, you know, GPS says, stay right on there. Well, I would go off the GPS, and what would you hear? Rerouting. Turn around, get back, you know, and I would just say, I don't want to hear it. So I did that for about a month, and I discovered that GPS was always right. Oh, man, it just, and I remember having to tell Natalie, see, Dad, she just loves it when she's right and I'm wrong. But anyway, it's a children thing and parent thing. How many of you have been through that already? Know what that's like? Yeah. So we were in there talking about the GPS, and he says, well, you know the original GPS? And I said, what? You know the original GPS? And he said, Holy Spirit. Woo! And it was like a lightning bolt. All right, now that's all I give Fawobi credit for. You know, that's his credit to fame right now. For the rest of it, it's not coming from Fawobi, okay? So the Holy Spirit is the original GPS. The Holy Spirit is the original GPS. So I think you know where I'm going here. I'm going to be talking and teaching on what? Holy Spirit. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Hey, John, you just sang that song, I believe in Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. There was a Bible study teacher many, many years ago, and they had a precocious little boy in there by the name of Johnny. And Johnny sometimes didn't want to pay attention. How many have had Johnny's in their room, or maybe their Susie's and all that? Okay. So she brought in a pretzel. She brought in a pretzel, and she wanted to teach the children about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So she says, this pretzel used to be just one strand, and then they looped it around. And this first loop is God the Father. This second loop is God the Son, and this third loop is God the Holy Ghost. That was years and years ago. That's how they taught. The ghost or spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, which really means spirit. Or again, King James will use the word ghost, which is absolutely fine. So then she said, okay, boys and girls, what is this one? God the Father. What's this one? God the Son. What's this one? God the Holy Ghost. Well, she wanted to reiterate it, and she thought some more. Then she said, Johnny, here's the pretzel. What's this mean? And Johnny says, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Smoke. So today we're going to be talking about God the Holy Smoke. Father, as we dive into this great passage of Scripture, and there's just absolutely no way that I have the vocabulary, the insight, the wisdom to be able to break all of this down in a short period of time. But Lord, you know my heart's desire to give freedom here today. My heart's desire to liberate your people into a greater and more dependency on the Holy Spirit of God. So Lord, I pray that you will take this broken, sinful vessel, and may you teach, may you illuminate your Scriptures this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. Chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are known to be some of the greatest teachings that Jesus Christ had on the earth, although all of them were great. But there just seems to be 14, 15, 16, and 17 just seems to be some just some stuff that's just really, really packed full. And in chapter 16, beginning in verse 5, Jesus says, now I'm going to him who sent me. He's going back to God who sent him. God's revealing himself in a way anthropomorphically, which simply means God in his awesome power, and God was spirit, or God is spirit. He wanted to reveal himself in a way that people like Ben and Cindy and Bobby and Maddie and Ava can understand, okay? So reveal himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. So we got God the Father, we got God the Son, and now he's going to talk about God the Spirit. Yet none of you asked me in verse 5, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. That would make sense. Verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Now understand. Anytime you hear that from anybody, it's for your good that I'm going away. Initially, you're not going to like that. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's just humanness, okay? In any scenario or any situation. But Jesus is saying, hey, it is really for your good that I'm leaving. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's very interesting here who sends the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Touch a little bit on theology today to help you maybe with your theology or not my theology, but the Bible theology. I don't care about your theology. You certainly shouldn't care about my theology, because if your theology and my theology doesn't go with the theology, then it's just a bunch of. And a lot of people out there have a very poor theology, or rather I say a poor understanding of the Word of God. Because they've just come up with something and they're just enamored by themselves, and they do so much false teaching. Now, I'm not saying they're false prophets, but there's so much false teaching going on today. And you have to really look in the Scripture. So he says here, unless I go, I will send him to you. Verse 7. When he comes, now who? He, referring to the counselor that we know to be called whom? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Smoke, the Holy Spirit. Now look what he does. When he comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then Jesus breaks these three things down. He then says, in regard to sin, because men do what? Believe in me. You see, oh man, there's so much here. I don't know if we're going to get to this today. Anyway, the first thing here, the first working of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of an unbeliever is to bring them to whom? Jesus. That's what Jesus said. That the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of their unbelief. That is the first and primary job of the Holy Spirit. Because why did Jesus die on the cross? To save humanity. Why is the Holy Spirit coming? To help you with your what? Unbelief of whom? Jesus Christ. You got to get this. This is foundational to your understanding of the power and the richness and the penetrating power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your need for a Savior. Wow. His power. That is what he does. That is why you and I share the Scripture and let the Spirit do the work. But most of the time, you and I don't share Scripture. You're talking. When we talk, there's no conviction. It's the Word of God that brings conviction through the richness and power of the Holy Spirit of God. So when you're talking to people, use Scripture. Hallelujah. It brings on conviction. So verse 8 says, when he comes to you, he'll convict the world of sin. Verse 9 says, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. Then he says in verse 10, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world, hallelujah, now stands what? Condemned. He's history. He is history. But we face the reality that history is not final yet, okay? One of the great things that I'm going to ask the Lord, maybe, I don't know. I said, Lord, why did you let him, apparently from my eyes, let him win so often? And I think I already know the answer. Well, he won so often because humanity let him win. I'm going to say something here in just a few moments and talk about the richness and power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope we get to it. If not, you have to come back next Sunday so I can get to it. Oh, no. We're going to have the Lord's Supper next Sunday. So it might be the following Sunday. But anyway. So verse 12 says, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. You can't bear what I'm about to share with you, and the only way you can bear it is you need some help. Hello. That is why when you talk to lost humanity, they cannot understand the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are what? Foolishness unto him. That is why you point people to Jesus Christ first. Let them get saved, and then let them start understanding. Because you cannot understand the Word of God without Jesus, without Holy Spirit. Oh, some of you, not all of you said amen on that. That's interesting. So I'm trying to help you with your theology so you don't fall for false teachers or false prophets that are going to be coming in droves. They're going to come in droves. They're coming. They're amongst us. People are falling. Left, right, in between. Good people are falling because they get enamored by what they hear rather than getting enamored by what he said in the Word of God. Did you hear what I said? You get enamored by what you hear rather than by enamoring by what he had already said in the Word of God. Okay? Your Bible reading or your lack of Bible reading will tell somebody, watch this now, how much you love Jesus. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not, this is another one. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to get to the points here today because there's so much that's happening in Christianity today that is so incredibly false. And I want to deal with a bunch of issues, but my goodness, look whether he will not speak on his what? His own. The Holy Spirit does not bring glory to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings glory to the one who sent him, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus. High and lifted up. Every knee, every tongue will confess that the Holy Spirit? No. Well, Pastor, why are you arguing on this thing? Because so many people are falling. They're falling for inappropriate theology because somehow they get their feelings into it and understand that the Word of God is not going to make you and I feel good. It's not going to make you feel good. Its purpose is to what? Bring you under conviction so you can be more like whom? Hallelujah. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory. Look at verse 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Hello. Hello. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So, the Holy Spirit is the original GPS. So I kind of played around. Let me give you some kind of, what are they called, John? Acronyms. Thank you, buddy. Okay, here, first one, God's positioning system. You may like that one. God's positioning system. You might like this one. God's penetrating system. God's penetrating system. You might like the third one. God's permanent supply. That's pretty good. You might like this one. God's power source. Now, you may like some of them. If you don't like any of them, think of your own one, GPS. Okay? That the Holy Spirit is the original guiding system. Just like on Google, the lady says, you've punched in 2800 Crystal Brook, and I want to get you to 2800 Crystal Brook, and just go by these directions, and when we go off, they try to bring us back. How many times has the Lord Spirit brought you back? Yeah, how many? And we can't even count them, right? See, he is the original GPS. The Holy Spirit, here's the next fill in the blank, the Holy Spirit wants to put you in, I'm sorry, this was not corrected in A. You see, it says A. You cross that P out. Cross that P out. Put you in A position. So you mark out the P. Sorry about that. He wants you to put in A position to be more like. Who do you think it is? You are smart. You are so smart. Go ahead and say, man, I'm smart today. Just don't let it get to your head. You know, just don't let it get to your head, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to put you and me in a position that we would be more like Jesus Christ, okay? Now, next one, Mike. This is great. It is never offline, or I should say, he is never offline. There are some places that I've been, and I remember being in one place with the Hope Team, and the GPS was not working. It was offline. Where are we going? I don't know. You know what you're doing? Nope, I don't. How about you? Sing a song. Where's the map? We have no map, you know? And maybe you can identify. We have become, it's just like someone asked me really recently, it was just a couple days ago in the bank, they said, what is your wife's phone number? Let me know what I'm talking about. You mean you're a bunch of liars. You don't know your wife's phone number. You remember your wife's phone number? What is it? You know your wife's phone number back there? Well, I stand corrected. You guys are not sinners. I'm the sinner. Is there anyone in our midst that doesn't know the wise woman? Is there anybody going to identify? Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Okay, Tim and I are the sinners. You're all good, okay? So they said, what's your wife's number? I said, oh, gosh. How am I going to get that? And then I remember someone showing me how I could get it. Well, you don't know how to get it? Well, you know, I'm still a work in progress anyway. And I gave it to him. But anyway, he is never offline. The Spirit is never dependent on mankind. Hallelujah. Never offline, never dependent on mankind, and never not working. Oh, never not working. Now, because I'm not sure how far I'm going to get. Let me tell you a little bit here about this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a part of the. Got to get this, of the initial salvation package. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is a part of the initial salvation package. What? All right, here it is. When you repent and believe. Now, I'm not talking about if you have heartburn. I'm talking about when you repent and you say, Jesus, I believe in you. Now, did you hear what I said? Jesus, I didn't say you repented of smoking. I didn't say you repented of alcohol. I didn't say repent of womanizing. I didn't say repent of not coming to church. I said, repent that Jesus is not a part of who you are. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's why the pews are filled with people that are lost and will split hell wide open. They've repented of some sin, and we praise the Lord, but they have not given their heart to Jesus Christ. They have not given their heart to Jesus. They've repented of something, and we get excited that they repented of something, but they have not repented of their lack of dependency on Jesus Christ. So I don't know if some of you are saved or not. You may be looking good on the outside. You may say all the right words, but inside the chambers of your heart, you repented because you were caught. You've never willingly said, Jesus, come and live. You've never willingly said, Jesus be Lord. Whatever the terminology is. And people today get into the terminology, and I understand why they do. But what I'm trying to tell you, it is the heart condition. All I know is this. When I got on my knees, there was no one else to turn to. And I turned to the one and only who, at that time that I knew, Jesus, I am a New Jersey punk. Come inside of my heart. Come inside my heart. I knew one scripture only, John 3:16. And all I know today is I got a good dose of him. I am. I'm a bona fide Jesus freak. And some of you say, well, you ought to talk to Tim Cummings sometimes. And let Tim tell you what he's hearing out there in the pulpits across America. The lack of emphasis on Jesus Christ. All this good stuff and Madison Square Garden publicity and all that other kind of stuff. And you may say, well, their pews are filled. Look, who are you preaching to say that? Well, you're looking at the wrong stuff. Only Jesus saves. Showing up in a church doesn't mean that you're saved. I went to church every Sunday with my dad. I just told you that. I was no more saved. I was lost. That's why I tell you. I said, I don't know the spiritual condition of my father. I don't know. I can remember there was a little tiny Bible by where he would stand, but I also know that he was an alcoholic. Not that alcoholics can't get into heaven, but you know, there's somewhere in the scripture it says about that, doesn't it? Oh, could he have repented? I sure pray that he repented when he was lying down that day before he passed away. I don't know. But you think I'm going to stand in this pulpit and tell you that my Father is in heaven? I'll never not do that. I'll never do that. I won't put anybody in heaven unless I hear from their mouths and the testimony of walking in him. There's some funerals I've done here. I've had a hip scotch and jump over a pew. And sometimes people got upset with me. But all I know is I want to remind you, who do I bow down to? I bow down to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I do not bow down to you as a church. I do not bow down to any deacon. I do not bow down to any human being. Well, sometimes I'd bow down to my wife, but anyway, you understand what I'm trying to say. Okay? All right, now, gosh, man, I can't even get to the 2 points here. Okay, let me show you here. You're in Ephesians. You go to Ephesians really quickly, and let me talk about, there's so much about the Holy Spirit that I just would like to teach on this morning. There's just so much here. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says here in verse 13, it says here, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed in whom? Jesus, the author of your salvation, whatever way you said it, whatever words, and you meant it, that who it is, Jesus Christ, you're not afraid to say his name. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, he was a part of the initial salvation package. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit does not take your ability of choosing away. You got to get that. And some of us may say amen. Some of us may say, oh, wow. What do I mean? Even though you are saved, even though you have the power of the Spirit, and even though at times you say, oh, did I say what I just said? Where in the world did that say? What did I just do? I never acted that good. I never was that kind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you just say, that wasn't me. That's God's Spirit working in me. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Okay, it's him. Because you know what you just did 2 hours ago. Okay? You know what you did yesterday. And all of a sudden you feel the Shekinah glory of God. You feel the power of the Holy Spirit using you in an extraordinary, overflowing way. And you say, why can't I be like that with my wife? Why can't I be that with my children? Why can I not treat people like that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's because your choice was not taken away when you gave your heart to Christ. Somehow we think the choice was taken away. We got these so-called believers out there that say, man, I've never sinned. What are you? What you smoking? What are you on? You just did. What? You prideful. SOB. Now see, some of you are going to be so upset that I said SOB. Man, I hear SOB all the time. Just get out with people. And you hear it. What's that? Bobby hears a lot worse. I don't know who he's hanging out with, but anyway. He is right. It's just people, right? It's just people. You're loving them, right? So the Holy Spirit doesn't take your choice away. What I'm saying is, you may be saved, and one day, man, it's like, well baseball, what do you like, baseball? You like basketball better than baseball? Okay, good. So we'll use basketball. It's like when you're coming down and you shoot a 3 and you make it and nothing but net. And man, yes. And then the next time you come down, you go up for a 3 and you shoot an air ball. How many's ever shot an air ball? How many's ever shot it in major competition? How many's ever shot it in major competition on a high school rival? How many was really embarrassed by it? How many people talked about it for years? Oh, okay. All right. Now, sometimes you're an operation of the Spirit, right? And then other times, what? You're not. That's what I'm talking about. When you got saved, it doesn't take your choice away. Now think about it. If it did, can you see this? Can you not see it if he took the choice away? Can you not see it? I see it. I mean, I see every pew packed. I see them up in the choir loft. I see people sitting up here. I see people down here on the steps because the Holy Spirit wants them in church. And because the Holy Spirit's taking their choice away, they're in church. You understand? Okay? All right? So he's a part of the initial salvation experience. But you don't understand that initially. I didn't. And then you start changing. You say, oh, man, it's me. No, it's not you. Well, who is it? Well, it's that Spirit living inside you. Well, what is that? And you start reading scriptures and you start learning about Jesus and what Jesus did. And wow. Okay? So, oh, my gosh. Okay. At least I'll give you the first point. Let me give you the first point and I'll pick it up next time. Number one. See, that was just all the introduction. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. The first point, his permanent presence within. Well, Pastor Ben, what does permanent mean? It means he never leaves. What? Yes. No testimonies right now, but as we close, can you remember a time in your life you were on a road that was kind of rough? Now, not physical road. I'm talking about road of life. And you were doing things or saying things or not doing things, and you know better, and man, you just didn't want anything to do with it. Anybody? Have you ever been on that road? If you don't mind standing. It's amazing. The children are looking around. Do we stand now? Of course, right? All of us was on that road, right? Well, did you ever think about who brought you back to the road? Brought you back? It's the Spirit. It's his presence. See, the Spirit doesn't take your will away. Doesn't take your choice away. He says, come on back. Now, for some of us, it takes a little bit longer, right? Well, you know, I mean, for others, it's really long. But anyway, anyway. That's the Holy Spirit. See, conviction is good. Linda, when you get convicted, that means you are saved. 10-5, yeah, you're saved. If you never get convicted, guess what? You're not saved. Somehow we got this conviction of wrong thing. Well, I'm not going to say I was wrong. I just heard it recently by some well-known preacher of the word. Never said he was wrong. He never said, repent, I repent. I'll probably talk about that next time. So I hope you come back, but not next week, the week after. His permanent presence within. Now you may say, well, I don't deserve it. Okay. Who deserves Jesus Christ? Who deserves the perfect one in your life? So come on, let's get down off a high horse and let's come on down and live amongst us, okay? Beneath the foot of the cross, there's what? Level ground. You know, it's not an altar where you can't even get up on the altar, you know, Roy? You know, oh my goodness, I'm not holy enough. Man, that stuff, you ought to burn it in the ashes. And that goes on in so many churches. It ought to just be burned up. bunch of pompousness goes on, driving people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember that power. Absolute power, what? Corrupts absolutely. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? Now, maybe today in the way that the Holy Spirit works, the primary reason he comes is to convict you of sin. And maybe right now he is convicting you that you're not in Christ. That you're not in Christ. And your body, and literally on the inside, is shaking. And you're wondering what to do. Hey, give your heart to Jesus. Well, what will someone say? Who in the world cares about the someone? If that someone really cares and you admit that he or she much rather you be in heaven than hell. So quit living the lie. If that's what you're living, I don't know. But if the Holy Spirit's convicting you that you are lost, you're undone, just say right now, Jesus, I repent of my unbelief, and Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, come in. Just like that. Something like that. And mean it with all your heart. I repent and believe. That's what Jesus said. We make it complicated. Jesus says repent and believe. Believe in him. Yes, him and him alone. Not him plus something else, but him and him alone. And if you've just done that, hey, you are born again. You're saved. You just got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well, I don't feel it. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. If you meant that prayer, he's there. He's there. Trust him. Having believed, you were sealed with a deposit guaranteeing a future inheritance. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. Oh, my goodness. You just gave your heart to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The angels are clapping. They're rejoicing in heaven. And I would love to rejoice with you. This is not a show. It's just my way of just encouraging you to stand up for Christ. As many others have stood for Christ and have come down this aisle, could today be the day for you? Maybe for most of us, we're on that road. Maybe we're not as far as we used to be. Maybe we just got off. Come on home to him, not to me, to him. Repent. 1 John 1:9. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Yes, just ask the Lord to forgive you. And to turn from it and walk away. Walk in the power of his strength. This altar is going to be open if you want.